Gemara had raised a question. The very first din in the Mishnah in our Perek seems so simple, and yet, like so many things in Taurus Rapeh, as you look deeply, you notice it's a lot more complex than meets the eye. Cheskes Habatim, the titular case, the name of our Perek, Cheskes Habatim, in our minds it's synonymous with Cheskes Karkos, and yet the Gemara points out here in Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph that Cheskes Habatim seems like it is not at all a typical case of Cheskes Karkos. Cheskes Karkos, in the broadest sense possible, is front and center in world events. Who ought to be in charge of what? And taking things by right versus taking things by might is tragically al haperek on a national, international level. And we hope and pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there should be shalom in the world. Be shown for Klal Yisrael, and our learning, our mitzvahs, our davening b'chlal, and specifically our learning about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants people to handle debates over karka, should mirtzah Hashem be yitzchus. For shalom for Am Yisrael, shalom for all of humanity. So here, Cheskes Habatim, a residence. Is it the classic case of Cheskes Karkos? It's the first case of the Mishnah. Yet the Gemara points out, ironically, it's very non-standard, because unlike all the other commercial properties or all the other work properties that the Mishnah mentioned, which are tashmishim bayom velo balayla, abayis avis tashmish yom uva layla, how do you have the edus? If you don't have the edus, so then at the very least, even if you're missing edus on the layla, if it's not Makuta, if those are not Shaloshan Makutos, they're at the very least Shaloshanim Mufuzaros. How do you make sense of this? So again, Abai and Rava each explain that the Edim involved are Edim who are qualified to speak not only about Yom, but about Laila as well. Unlike Rava, whom we will get to later this week, who focuses on a case of tenancy, where a specific Ukimta, where the property is not being resided in by the ostensible owner, but the ostensible new owner, the machzik, rented it out to tenants, and the tenants are being made, which raises its own complexity about negiyah be'edus that we'll get to later in the week. Abai says, no, we're talking about the standard case. Who's your standard aid on who are your standard aidim on Cheskes Habatim? Anyhow, it would be the shivavi, it would be the shcheinim. So, shcheinim, no. Shivavi meida yadi. Now, the Ramah quotes in Simon Mem Beis and Evan Ezra Se'if Dalad, Ramah talks about the photographer scenario. So Ramah wasn't talking about photographers, but it's the same type of situation. If you began to take a look at the Mordechai in Kiddushin, you saw he also has a very complex case, of which this is one element. The Mordechai has a... And Tav Kuf Lamed Aleph, at the end of Kiddushin, the Mordechai has a long case and a long cause celebre. I mentioned to you, fellas, last week that it's like this is, sounds like this is like the Get of Cleves, which is what indirectly vaulted the Hafla to be the unlikely Chassidus Sharav of, thank you, of Frankfurt in Germany. So this is many, many centuries earlier, during the period of Baliatosis, the Talmidim of Rabbeinu Tam, Talmidim and Talmidim, the Yireim, Blazmi Mitz, specifically it looks like mostly the German Talmidim, the Yireim, the Rihal Lavin, and so on and so forth, all discussed in this case. And the case begins that there was a young woman, you take a look in the Mordechai, you all have copies of, if you don't, here are a few more copies. The Mordechai opens, Tavkuf Lamed Aleph, Maisa Benar Shaisa Meshudachas Lekoin. Here's a young woman, engaged to a Kohen, Velonis Gadsha, not married, engaged. It's hard to tell whether this means that at the time it was still common, even in Ashkenaz, to separate Kiddushin and Yisuin. That's what perhaps it sounds like. She had not had Kiddushin yet. She wasn't halachically married. She wasn't halachically bound. She wasn't Reishis Ish, but she was engaged. She was Meshudechas L'Kohen. The halachic term for engagement is Shiduchim. Chasen Kala is, we use it as colloquially, we call engaged couple Chasen Kala. Al Pidin, Chasen Kala is once you're married. When you're engaged, you're a Meshudach and a Meshudechas. So a Shechter quotes, I think it was either of Breuer or of Schwab, but when a couple got engaged and would come to meet him, so he would insist on calling them a Meshudach and Meshudechas, or Meshudachim, to stress that you're emotionally, obviously there's a lot of significance in the fact that you're probably committed to get married together, to get married to one another, but Al Pidin, it does not release you from any of the Evan Ezra restrictions. So to stress that, you insist on calling them Meshudach Meshudachas rather than Chas and Kal.
What's the difference between before and after?
Maisa Benara.
What's the difference
between David before and after? Maisa Benara. Shahaisa Meshudachas Lakoin. You have this young woman engaged to a Kohen. Lo Niskat, Shal Pidin, there's no connection. She's not yet an Eishes Ish, but she's engaged. She's hoping to marry this Kohen. And why is it marrying the Kohen so significant? That's going to become clear very soon. Bob Paritz Echad, the Paritz comes. Now, in stories from the 1700s, 1800s, the Paritz is the non-Jewish counter-duke in Poland. But it's clear from context that this Paritz was a Jew, because he's about to attempt to be Mekadosher. Obviously, Kiddushin between a non-Jewish man and Jewish woman are not chal. This probably means Paritz in literal sense. He was an Adam Paritz, a man of Pritzus. A coarse Jew comes, Bebeis Hanara, Ba Paritz Echa Bebeis Hanara. It almost sounds, you hear the ring of the Pasuk, Bo Bo Pritzim V'chiluluha. Ba Paritz Echa Bebeis Hanara, Im Shnei Eden. He came prepared, he walks in, and he wants the girl. It comes with his two Edom all set to go. V'nichnas imen b'dvarim, and starts schmoozing with her. V'nosan lo tabas, and he gives her a ring. V'lo hizkir shum kiddushin ad la'achar shah. He gives her a ring, gives her jewelry, and they're talking, and he's there with his friends. And then, az amar, and then he turns and says, ooh, havu alai Edom shekidashtia. He says to his two friends, you're Edom that I was just makadashah. But he didn't say anything b'shas nesinas ha'tabas. One eight says, I saw the handing over of the ring. I saw the ring going from the hand of the parts to the hand or the finger of this Nara. The other says, I didn't see the actual giving of the ring. The body of this parrot, he was standing, the man who was giving the ring, the interloper, the intruder, he blocked this aide's line of sight. So he stepped in front of me when he gave her the ring. I saw the ring in his hand a minute before. I saw the ring on her finger or in her palm a minute later. But I didn't see the moment of Nesinas HaTabas. V'lo yacholti l'raos. I couldn't actually see that moment. Rakesh Amar havu alai eidim. When he said later, I didn't even realize, it sounds like, the aide is saying, I didn't realize either. I thought he's giving her a present. I thought he's trying to court her. It's inappropriate. She's already engaged to someone. Why are you trying to pull her away? I thought he was being inappropriate. I didn't realize he was trying to marry her. When the pirate says sometime later, you're Edim that I was Mekadosher, says the second aide, Amarti lo, I said to her at that point, Hashlichi, drop it. Toss the ring away right away. Ki l'kiddusha nosan lach. Because he gave it to L'Shem Kiddushin. You don't want to be married to this guy. V'hishlicha. And then she threw it away. And then, gewalt. And now, all chaos breaks loose. What's the next move? Which sounded like a good idea. The Oz Kamu Kurove Hanara, the family of this girl, who felt that this zhlob, this coarse, tough paritz, had maneuvered and manipulated their relative, this Nara, into factor into accepting Kiddushin Shalom Idaita. So what did they do? They wanted to protect her. She wants to marry someone else. Kafu es haparot sheitin laget. So they went over to the parrot, some of her relatives, and said, if you know it's good for you, you better give her a get. Release her so she can marry the no shilas. Now, right. Now the problem is, that's not necessarily the best solution. Because exactly, she's engaged to a Kohen. So if she is a Grusha, so then she can never marry the Kohen for a lifetime. Ah, so, Gevaldik. So the Shaila is, maybe there was no need for a Kiddush. Maybe no need for a get. They weren't married to begin with for a wide variety of reasons. Mekachtos, there was no Amira B'Shas Nesina. If what the second eight said is correct, there's really two different points. The Mekachtos piece, gotta think about that. Even more, usually Mekachtos means I didn't know who I was marrying or the type of person that I was marrying. Here it's even more profound. I didn't think I was engaged in marriage at all, she may say. As a matter of fact, the second aide even says that I didn't think so either. I'm the aide, I didn't think so. And the moment I realized, I made it clear to her, and she followed my instructions and tossed the ring away.
Well, even if she would have kept the ring,
then. Well, see, here's the thing. Usually, in typical, well-organized, consensual Maisa Kiddushin, so the husband has a speaking part. He says Aret Mekudeshesli and then gives the ring. Sometimes the chassan at that point, he is a chassan or about to be a chassan, is so excited that he's sort of jumping with the ring. The Messiah Kedusha has to say, "Hold on a second. First he says Aret Mekudeshesli and then he gives the ring." So that's what's supposed to happen. He says Aret Mekudeshesli. He gives her the ring. Her silent acceptance is all that's needed in context to communicate her consent under normal circumstances. These were obviously very abnormal circumstances. So as you see, the first line, Hishvu kol ha-gedolim, shakidush l'havikidushin, all the gedolim at the time agreed that they're not married, and then the whole discussion ensues. The Rihalavan and the Yireim, and this one, that one, different perspectives on why this is or isn't. And then part of the issue also is what arguments do we have that the Kiddushin are or are not valid? And there are several independent reasons, as you were pointing out, why the Kiddushin might not be valid. And then this sort of a secondary discussion is that begins at the end of the Yamid, is there is a sugya, the end of the Masech has gotten, but Reach HaGet, the smell of a get. Let's say there was a get that was given that wasn't valid, but there was a giving of a get. So under what circumstances would we say that at least midrabanan, this woman cannot marry a Kohen because of Reach HaGet? This whole discussion, maybe Reach HaGet is only if they were married. They're already married, and there was an invalid get given. That might be very different than over here. She got a get which was meaningless because she wasn't really married to the guy in the first place. So that's all. Those are the two branches. And that's why all the Rishonim, all the Chachmei Ashkenaz get involved. And yes, no, here's why not. She's Muteris Linas, not Muteris Linas, say different arguments, and two issues have to be worked out. If the Kiddushin were valid, so then the get was valid, and she is tragically a Grusha, who for her lifetime cannot marry the man that she was engaged to. If it's not a Kiddushin, then we still have to figure out, negotiate the Reach HaGet conversation. Now, but you'll notice that one point in the telling of the story is what we call the photographer issue. Because again, under the way the Shaila comes up under normal circumstances is that sometimes under a well-organized, fully consensual, happy chuppah, the photographer wants to get the right shots, he wants to get the action moment, so the Eidim want to see the action moment for halachic reasons. The photographer and the videographer need to capture the action moment for commercial reasons, because they want to take the pictures that everyone wants to see afterwards. So normally, this used to be, I think, more of a problem decades ago. Over the last couple, after the last 20, 30 years, I think there's been, I guess, more communication between families, rabbanim, and photographers. And photographers who handle frum weddings nowadays tend to know that they can't get in the middle of the action, and they set themselves up accordingly in advance, so that they have the right angles from a distance. And everyone said, "Well, you do have a problem of a of a a photographer, a caterer, what have you, was sort of crowding the Edom. And he asked the question, let's say, as happened here, one of the Edom missed the moment. One of the Edom missed the moment. So is that, he saw right before, he saw right after. But he didn't see the actual Nesinas HaTabas. Is that valor or not? What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? Depends on what you mean by Shulchan Aruch. So in the middle, right, in the middle of the page, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't address it at all. The Machaber doesn't talk about it, but the Ramah, in his Hagos in the Shulchan Aruch, so as you said, he says clearly in the middle of the Siv Dalet, in the second line, Tzrichim Eidim Liroz, HaNesina Mamish Liyada O Lirashusa. The previous line is a whole hak, not for now, but Yichud Eidim, that's the first line of the Ramah, but don't you need to designate particular Eidim? And if you designate particular Eidim, you often hear that under Chuppah. Does it really matter? Can other people serve as an Eid anyways? The Ramah has that part of that conversation. A lot more going to pick long Pesach Tshuva here. That's not our discussion. Second line Ramah. Sheikhim Eidim Liros HaNesina Mamish Liyada. The Eidim have to see the actual misplacement into her hand, Oli Roshusa. He could, in theory, the Mishnayos tell us, in theory, Nesinas HaKiddush, Nesinas HaGet could happen into her property, into her chatzah rather than to her yad. It is obviously in a Kiddushin context the very opposite of sentimentality or romanticism. I do not recommend saying, don't worry, darling, let me just throw the ring into your car or into your front yard instead. No, you should put it in her hand. But either way, however you're doing the Nesinas HaTabas, whether it's liyada, recommended, or lirshusa, not recommended. Social distancing. Either way, the Eidim Ramah says unequivocally, need to see the actual Nesina. What if they didn't? They didn't see it. They heard our and 10 seconds later, it's in her hand. What did Ramah just say? He didn't tell us before. Didn't he tell us this a line earlier? Why is he being so dramatic? And Tzrichim Ha'edim. He already said Tzrichim Ha'edim. So what's being added by this line? I'm thinking global halacha category. But as we said before, Tzrichim Ha'edim, you can't make assumptions.
Even if they saw the actual, or even if they knew the actual.
The Di'evit. Tzrichim Ha'edim is instructions. The Eidim have to see it. Okay, they didn't have to see it. Let's say they didn't, so I could have imagined, we really would rather they see it, because there are deus that hold that they should see it, but I could have imagined Ramah saying, Tzrichim Ha'edim, but if they didn't see it, still gosher. So that's what Ramah is adding, it's important to be sensitive to. Tzrichim Ha'edim is a l'chatchila directive. Einon Kiddushin is a bidyeva. Even if this is what happened, it's not Kiddushin. And that is very unequivocal. It doesn't say it's a suffix, it doesn't say you should be Makadosh again. It says Einon Kiddushin, they're absolutely not married. Ad Shiru HaNesina Mash. Until they see it directly. Wow. Unequivocally, it sounds like she is utterly not married without it. Bli shum safek. Where's Ramah get this from? Right, the Rajba. Ramah gets it from the Rajba, and this is, by the way, just bibliographically, in terms of understanding how Sifra Halacha work, you're about to see something, your position to appreciate, which happens not infrequently. I asked you before what the Shulchan Aruch said. And they say, well, the Mechaber himself, Yosef Karo, the Shulchan Aruch, doesn't actually talk about this case. Only the Ramah does. However, he does talk about the case, just he talks about it in the Beis Yosef. That happens not infrequently. Not every single detail in the Beis Yosef makes it in the Shulchan Aruch, and often the Ramah will quote details in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef himself did not quote. And you saw, the Beis Yosef quotes, Kasa Rajma Betshuva, Simen Tav Shin Pei. This is Chelek Aleph, Simen Tav Shin Pei, 780. The Eidim, it talks about the whole situation. They didn't see the Nesina. That was the case of an Esrog. It was Makarasha with an Esrog. There was a Rajba lived in Spain. So they had fresh Esrogim, I guess. I'm not sure if it was before Sukkot or after Sukkot. After Sukkot, it's not really so exciting to give a girl an Esrog. Before Sukkot, that was a beautiful Esrog. A Makarasha, exactly. Okay. Be that as it may, the Rajba says clearly in the Beis Yosef, if they didn't see in lo roa nesina mamish, they didn't see the actual handing over from his hand to hers. Afilu roa esrog yotze mitachas yada. Even if they saw the esrog in her hand moments later, ein kan chashash shel klum. There is no chashash whatsoever. The Rashba could not be clearer. And you understand what he's trying to say. He's highlighting ein kan chashash and throws him shel klum at all. There's nothing. He's trying to say, even b'dieved, there isn't even a safek kiddushin. And that's obviously very relevant for the case that the Mordechai had quoted. Because if there's no safek kiddushin whatsoever, then even leaving aside all the other, again, there are other arguments you could make in that case as well, that the Mordechai quoted. Maybe it's not a kiddushin because there was no amira b'shas ma'isa. It was not a kiddushin. Now there's no formal amir. It wasn't even clear, even without the formal amir, it wasn't even clear what was intended. There could be other arguments to invalidate the Kiddushin, but according to the Rashba, it's invalidated simply because he talked about a different case, but it's invalidated simply because the Edom don't directly see it. Ein kan chashash aklum. The Rama is clearly, as we saw, once we become sensitive to that, Rama is giving even more explicitly. L'chatchila and a b'dieved, he's making that point, there is no Kiddushin whatsoever. Yeah, Yaakov. No, that's a good question. Does it matter if one eight saw it but not both? The answer offhand should be no, because as the Rashba continues, Bezos continues to quote the Rashba. It's a short shu as a Rashba, but I think a little bit longer than what the Bezos is summarizing. Soma, but Tavshin Pei is a short simon. Afilu hi moda shelokachatu l'shem kiddushin. Unlike in the case of the Mordechai, where the girl was sort of blindsided by this paritz, by this coarse fellow, by the slob, one might say, an aggressive slob. And the Rashba says, even if the scenario was that the girl freely says, yeah, he gave it to me, the shame kiddushin, and I accepted the shame kiddushin, I wanted to marry him. Still, it's zero. Why? Because the Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Samachay, I believe, that Hamakadish Beino Lebeino, if a man and woman get married with no one else watching, Afilu Shneihem Modim, even if they both freely agree, that they freely declare, that yes, they both say that he gave her a ring, L'shem Kiddushin, they even made a bracha, L'yeser says, it doesn't matter. Ain choshesh, and also the Gemara's language, we're not choshesh whatsoever, because that's what we call, as the Rishonim Achronim refer to, as the need for Eidim is not just lebirur hadava. The need for Eidim is not just to clarify, to prove, to verify what happened. It's lakiyum hadava. Eidus lakiyum hadava. Kiddushin needs Eidus lakiyum hadava. You need to have the Eidim. Why? If the Eidim didn't watch, then it doesn't count. This is a little bit, you know, if the tree falls in the forest and no one hears it, we could declare pointlessly about whether it makes noise or not. Heisenberg, of course, for those who are intellectuals or pseudo-intellectuals, either way, who at least will pretend to know something about quantum mechanics, you know that, yeah, if it's not, that in quantum mechanics, until it's observed, an unobserved state doesn't really fully exist in either way, which seems funny to us. But in the Hanami, in the world of Kiddushin, we pass in Gittin as well, we require Eidus Lakim HaDavar. He gave the ring. He had Das Kiddushin. He sent her in the Kodeshesli. She had Das Kiddushin. It's Shava Pruta. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Hadas Badin is irrelevant. Shad Nashachidi Kiddushin is irrelevant. If there aren't two Eidim, it didn't happen. The giving of the ring happened, but there's no Chalos Kiddushin. There's no chalos kiddushin whatsoever. So that's why if you don't have Eidim watching, even in a case where he says, she says, where he and she both say, where there's no debate, and everyone's on board, it doesn't matter. If there weren't Eidim, there weren't Eidim. So, and what the Rashba is saying is, Eid means Imamish saw the moment, the actual Mesiras HaTabas. If he didn't see the actual Kiddush HaKesef, zero. Zero Sheba zero. That's what the Rashba says. That's what the Rashba says, that's what the Rama paskins unequivocally. But as I said before, know, when you say, what does the Shulchan Aruch say? Chayv Adam Lomer B'Lashon Rabo. When Rabbi Shechter says, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't necessarily mean just the Mechaber or even the Ramah. He means this page. So let's say in Hilchas Mezuzah, if we get to that later in the year, it says the 3 days in Shulchan Aruch about the definition of Achori Adelas. And so Shaila comes up in every single house in this part of the United States. When you have a door that I'm not going to get to now, but when you go home, whether that's today or whenever you end up going home, if you live in a house rather than an apartment, so there's a door to the basement, probably in your kitchen or in a hallway, and that door, unlike the doors to the bedrooms that open into the bedroom, the door to the basement from the first floor opens outward towards you, for the simple reason that if the door opened into the stairs, that would be dangerous on a lot of levels. The person walking from the kitchen might not realize he's walking into steps and falls down. The person coming up the steps could get hit in the face and knocked down the steps by a door that opens at him. So for a wide variety of reasons, and plus you always want, yeah. So for a wide variety of reasons, the door is always open towards you. Even though mezuzah-wise, the question is, where does the mezuzah go? Does it go beyond the door in the door space, or does it go facing you? The shaila came out every single home, at least in this part of the United States of America. And it's, so Rav Shechter would say, it's 3 days in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, but that does not mean I discovered 3 days in the Mechaber. It means, if you read the Mechaber slowly and carefully, you read the Ramah slowly and carefully, you read the Shach slowly and carefully, you put it all together, you're Medayik well, you'll realize that Taka, they are assuming three different definitions of Achori Adels. So here, in the Shulchan Aruch, I know we have... Is 1209 the accurate time?
Yeah.
Okay. So in the remaining 4.5-5 minutes, a few points that will set us up for tomorrow. Number one is, what is saying the Shulchan Aruch? Depends what you mean by the Shulchan Aruch. Ramos says, absolutely not Mekudeshes. Who disagrees? Right. The Mordechai quoted by the Beis Shmuel. The Beis Shmuel says, well, the Mordechai, Perek HaOmer. And if you're wondering how did I find the Mordechai, because I followed the little number to his head. It's in top of Laman Aleph. There you go. Not the only way to find the Mordechai, but one of the ways to find the Mordechai. I feel lo ro hanesina, aim about the like kiddushin, in ro davra mochiach, yachal lo ha'id ki'ilu, ro guf ha'maisa. Where are you going to find it in the Mordechai? Certainly at the very, very end, in the part that I bracketed. It quotes the Re'aim. That's Rabbi Lezer Mitz, who wrote a sefer Yireim. I don't know if it's an intended alliteration or not, but the Re'aim, Reish Aleph Mem, Rabbi Lezer Mitz, wrote the sefer Yireim. The Re'aim, or the Yireim, was one of the key Talmidim of Rabbeinu Tam, just to give you a sense of who we're talking about. He and the Re were often seen as the two primary Talmidim of Rabbeinu Tam. The Re was Rabbeinu Tam's nephew. The Re was Rabbeinu Tam's sister's son. I see. The Re was a great grandson of Rashi. So the Re was often seen. I think this is Chaim Soloveitchik Nusach. The Re is seen as the primary French Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, and he gives rise to all the French Balei Tosfos. Most of the Tosfos we have on the page, all the other sets of Tosfos Shantz and Tosfos Tuch, Tosfos Ben Peretz, Tosfos Rosh, is all ultimately miyusad on the core Tosfos and they're written by the Re. The other primary Talmud, Rabbeinu Tam, the primary Ashkenaz Talmud, primary German Talmud, is the Yireim, Rabbi Lezer Mitz, and he has many Talmudim, particularly Rav Yah. Then from him flow the Ravan and all the Chachmei Ashkenaz working their way down from both sides to the Maram of Rutenberg, who's at the end of the period of Balei Tosfos, and his two Raveim, one is from the Shalshelas HaMesorah of the Re, and the French Balei Tosfos, and the other is from the Shalshelas HaMesorah of the Yireim, and the German Chachmei Ashkenaz. So here the Yireim says in the Tshuva, this case, Ein Levatel B'Kach HaKidushin. Wow. So what we have is a machloka, sounds like the Rashba and the Yireim. The Rashba and the Yireim if you didn't see the Maisa Kiddushin, is it Ein Kan Chashash Al Klum? The Rashba and the Rama could not have been clear. Zero. The Raim says, if it's pretty clear what happened, if it's pretty clear what happened, so then, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't even clear what happened.
Now, I'll leave you. We're going to begin to dig more tomorrow, but it should be noted that the Rabbeinu Yonah seems to understand, coming back to our sugya, that's the Chiddush of Abaye. We left off last time thinking about, even from a Shach V'Tayr perspective, Rava is so shver on so many levels, Abaye is so simple. Why doesn't Rava agree with Abaye? Abaye gave a nice year. Why does Rava have to give a difficult terrace? It must be, we said, Abaye has his own difficulties. And that is Abaye's Chiddush, which we saw, if you read Rabbeinu Yonah slowly and carefully, that's the issue in our sugya. Shivava Meidi Yadi. They didn't actually see anything. Remember, Rabbi Yonah said, they didn't actually see anything. They would have noticed. I would have seen luggage. I would have heard a commotion. Meaning indirect, to borrow the language of the Gemara and Shavuos, Eidus Yediyah below Eidus Re'iyah. Rabbi Yonah says, Abaye is saying, that's acceptable. Interesting, because that's a machlokas, sounds like in Eben Ezer, machlokas Yoreim, who says, yes, it's acceptable, versus the Rashbu who says, no, it's not acceptable. I leave you with this bombshell, which is the Rashba, in our sugya, the Talmud Ben Yonah, agrees with Ben Yonah that it is acceptable. The Rashba had been the flag bearer, the standard bearer. Ein kan chashash al klum, you didn't see Gufa Maisa, zero. Shivu Mediyadi, the Rashba says, just like his Rebbe Ben Yonah. Yeah. That the neighbor saw something, so we can piece together from circumstantial evidence. Where does the Rashba stand? We're going to have to, is circumstantial evidence acceptable or not? He's mako by a ashes ish. The Rashba says, I have no qualms being mako. But all of a sudden, when it comes to Cheskes Havatim, circumstantial evidence, Shiva made yadi, what is going on to be continued.